Well, thank you for the words of welcome. It has been a pleasure to be with you as a congregation over the last number of weeks. We appreciate all the prayer and all your encouragement to us, your presence at the meetings, and we trust that this meeting will be blessed and owned of God. Can I just thank those individuals and those men on the recording desk and those that have also had to come in to this building while we have been in the hall to throw up certain things. I appreciate it. I would say I'm probably one of the hardest people to control with respect to volume, with respect to preaching, but I do appreciate all the men who have helped with respect even to that simple work. But to all who prayed, to all who came, and those who invited individuals out and who didn't come, don't be discouraged. Continue to go after them. And we trust that even at another mission, another opportunity, it will be their time to come and trust the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, thank you. We appreciate all your kindness and your love towards us. And we trust that God will bless us as we meet around his precious word. Final words are always important words. And tonight we want to read the final words that the Apostle Paul wrote to his son in the faith, Timothy. And so if you have a copy of God's Word, please take it and turn to 2 Timothy, the chapter number 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, and we're going to read from the verse number 9. So it's 2 Timothy chapter 4 and the verse number 9. Paul is writing to Timothy here, and he says, "Do thy diligent to come shortly unto me. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed on to Thessalonica, Cretans to Galatia, Titus on to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. And Tychicus have I sent to Ephesus. The cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus when thou comest bring with thee, and the books, but especially the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. Of him be thou ware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Salute Priscilla and Aquila, and the household of one Seriphorus. Erastus abode at Corinth, but Trophimus have I left at Miletum sick. Do thy diligence to come before winter. Labus greeteth thee, and Pindens, and Linos, and Claudia, and all the brethren. The Lord Jesus Christ be with thy spirit. Grace be with you. Amen." We add our own amen. We keep the word of God open, and let's just briefly engage in prayer. Let's seek the Lord. Christian, you pray that God will help as I minister the word in this final meeting. Our Father and our God, we come before thee. Come, O God, humbly, aware, O God, of our need, our great need, as we come to preach this final message, the whole solemnity of it all, the opportunity that lies ahead of the unconverted in this house tonight. We pray, O God, that they might seize that opportunity and come to the Savior. Pray that their foolishness with respect to their sin might be done with. Lord, that thou would be pleased to glorify thy Son, bring conviction of sin upon the soul. Pray for those that are presently uninterested in this meeting. Pray, O God, that as this message progresses, that there might be an awareness of God speaking to their heart and their soul. Glorify thy dear Son, we pray. Grant, O God, the infilling of thy Spirit with wisdom and power. May, O God, we know a sense of thy presence. Grant, O God, the workings of God among us tonight. Save the lost. Restore the backslider. Glorify thy Son. We offer prayer in and through the name of Christ our Savior. Amen. Incarcerated and languishing in one of Rome's prison cells, awaiting his sentencing before the Roman Emperor Nero, as he neared his end of life's journey, the Apostle Paul, for one final time, writes to his son in the faith, Timothy. As he does so, he charges his young understudy to preach the word. Preach it when it's embraced by the people. Preach it in season, Timothy. And preach it when it's in days when it is rejected by the masses. Preach it out of season. Paul goes on to record in his final letter those who stood shoulder to shoulder with him in the ministry, as well as those who forsook him and those who vehemently opposed his ministry. He asked Timothy to come and to visit him in Rome, bringing with him certain items and certain people. The cloak that he had left with Carpus and Troas, John Mark, who was now profitable for the ministry, the books, but especially the parchments. Having exhorted Timothy to, in verse 19, to salute his friends Priscilla and Aquila, and the household of one Sinephoros, the aged apostle, now writes these words of exhortation to Timothy in the verse 21. Do thy diligence to come before winter. Knowing that winter was fast approaching and that the temperatures would drastically plummet in Rome, the cloak and the accompanying friendship and companionship of Timothy was sought for by the Apostle Paul. Timothy at this stage in his life was pastoring a church in Ephesus, a city on the west coast of modern Turkey, as the crow flies some 831 miles from Rome. Aware that the winter storms of the Mediterranean Sea would soon sweep across that vast expanse of water and that the shipping season would be postponed until the calmer days of spring arrived, Paul now implores Timothy to set out immediately, lest the winter storms would hamper the desired reunion that he sought with his son in the faith. And thus he wrote these words, "Do thy diligence to come before winter." Tonight I want to take those words of Paul. I want to take them out of their immediate context. I want to break every homiletical rule probably that there is. But I want to apply them to you in the gospel. Because as I considered this message, this meeting, and as I considered the message that the Lord would have me to bring, and as I sought the Lord in prayer, these words came forcibly into my mind, and I believe that the Lord would have me to pass some simple comments upon them as we bring this gospel mission to its conclusion. And so in obedience to my Lord and my Savior, in obedience to the Spirit of God, I want to preach a message that I've simply entitled, "Come Before Winter." Come before winter. In the words of Paul to Timothy, I see, first of all, the invitation declared. Paul exhorted Timothy to come. Come before winter, he said. Though presently at a distance from the Apostle Paul, the command to Timothy was couched in gracious yet pressing words to come and to draw near to this man of God. What can we say about the invitation? Well, I say, first of all, notice its simplicity. The simplicity of the invitation, come. Timothy didn't need to look up a dictionary. He didn't need to consult an encyclopedia or to turn to a lexicon to understand what the Apostle Paul meant when he used that one syllable, four-lettered word, come. Timothy wasn't bamboozled. He wasn't puzzled. He wasn't confused with the language that the Apostle Paul was using here. Timothy knew exactly. He knew exactly what Paul desired for him within this invitation to come. He was simply to leave the place that he presently occupied, Ephesus, and to come to him who was in Rome. I'm not here tonight to consult or to insult your intelligence. I well know that every person, even the youngest child in this meeting place, understands what is expected of them when someone invites them to come. You don't need a doctorate. You don't need a master's degree. You don't need an undergraduate degree or a college diploma. You don't even need a single A-level or GCSE. You don't even need to have passed the 11 plus or the AQA exam to understand what Christ means when he says to you in the gospel to come. Simply, God wants you to leave the place that you presently occupy as a sinner. A place that finds you under the condemnation of God. A place of estrangement from God. A place of a distance from God. A place that finds you under the divine displeasure of God because of your sin. He wants you to leave that place and he wants you to draw near to him in simple faith. He wants you to come to him. And he wants you to do it before winter. Many gospel texts of Scripture that use this word come, and although they be familiar to us all, yet they are well worth repeating in your hearing this evening. Heaven invites you, the sinner, in Isaiah 1 verse 18, to come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Isaiah 55, verse 1, Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Hosea 6, verse 1, Here's one for you, backslider, tonight. Come, and let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn, and he will heal us. He hath smitten, and he will bind us up. Matthew 11, 28, Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Mark 10, verse 14, Suffer little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Luke 14, verse 17, Come, for all things are now ready. And then the last gospel invitation that we have in sacred Scripture, Revelation 22, 17, And the Spirit and the Bride say, Come. And he that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. And so tonight, I put it to you again for one final time. Will you come to Christ? Will you come to the Savior? Will you come to the cross? You might ask in this meeting, how do I come? You come in contrition. You come as one who is sorry for their sin, one who is aware of their offenses and their crimes against God, one who is broken over their transgressions of God's holy law. And the sinner that comes, thank God, in contrition, God will not turn them away. Because I read in Psalm 51 and the verse number 17 that the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. I read in Psalm 34 verse 18 that the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. You come in contrition. You come with confession. Many a man has been sorry over and broken over their sin. Many a woman has shown deep regret and remorse and contrition with respect to their offenses against God. And yet, they have failed to take the next step. And that is a step of confession. You come with confession. That's how you come to the Savior. Ah, can I say that confession is twofold in nature. First of all, there is a confession of your faults, your sins. Proverbs 28, verse 13. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth them and forsaketh them shall have mercy. A confession of your sin, your faults. But there's also a confession of our faith. Romans 10, 9 that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Ah, you come in contrition, you come with confession, aye, and you come through Christ. Salvation is not found in any religious order, in any religious rite, in any religious ritual. Salvation is not found in the Orange Order. Salvation is not found in the Royal Black Institution. Salvation is not found in the Masonic Lodge. Salvation is not found in the Free Presbyterian Church or any other church, but salvation is found in one Redeemer, in one Savior, the blessed Son of God. I read in John 3:17, "For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world," then underline these words, "that the world through Him might be saved." It is through Christ. I point you to Christ tonight. Romans 5 and the verse number 9, we read, "Much more then, being now justified by His blood," Christ's blood, "we shall be saved from wrath through Him," through Him. This is how you come. In contrition, with confession, and through Jesus Christ. I wonder tonight, are you broken over your sin? You should be. Do you hate your sin? Are you willing and ready to relinquish your sin? Are you ready to confess your sin to God and then confess Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord? Are you willing? Are you willing this evening to cast your all upon the Savior tonight? Thank God. If you are, then you may come. You may come. The simplicity of the invitation, but there's something else about the invitation. I want you to notice its sweetness. Come. There's something sweet about the very word, come. There's a warmth to it. There's a welcome in it. You see, folks, the holy law of God, it told us to depart. Depart, the law said. You're a sinner. God's a holy God. Depart, depart. Approach no further, lest ye die. That's what the law said. But thank God, by Christ fulfilling the law, and by Him coming grace and truth, Christ was able to say to the sinner, come, 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 for I have fulfilled all righteousness. Come, for I have met the law's demands by my sinless life. Come, for I have paid the debt of sin, the penalty of the law, by my sacrificial death. Come, because I have appeased the demands of divine justice by my sufferings. Come, for I have destroyed the works of the devil. Come, for I desire to save you. Come, for I desire to wash you. Come, for I desire to transform you. Come, for I desire to make you one of my own. Come, and I'll eventually bring you to heaven. Sinner, come to Christ tonight. Tonight, sinner, the Savior could easily say to you, because of your sin, to depart. Having rejected Him, having spurned Him, having refused to yield to Him, He could be just, and He would be just in saying to you tonight, depart. And yet I want you to see from the very lips of Christ, from the very mouth of the Savior, a mouth of whom Solomon would say was most sweet, and the gospel record records that from that mouth proceeded gracious words. From the very mouth of Jesus Christ tonight, He would say one more time to you, come, come. But something else about this invitation, I want you to note its sincerity. The man in Rome's prison cell, Paul, really did want Timothy to come and to see him. Paul's invitation to come before winter was marked by sincerity. It wasn't one of those invitations. You know, you meet someone down the street and you would say to them, you know, come round to the house some night love to see you, and then the person's down the street and you're hoping that the person will never take you up on the offer. We've all given such offers in our lives. It was not like that. No, this was a sincere invitation, a longing for Paul to see Timothy again. How do I know that? I know that because it was the second time within the chapter, the second time within his closing remarks, that Paul invited Timothy to come. Verse number 9, do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. And then he repeats it just in case Timothy missed it at the first reading. In sincerity, he says to him in verse 21, Timothy, do thy diligence to come before winter. The repetition of the invitation shows us the sincerity of it. As I thought of that, I thought about individuals in this house who have heard the gospel week after week, month after month, year after year. The invitation has gone out to you in this house to come, for all things are now ready, to come to the Redeemer, come to Christ, come to the cross, come and have the sin problem dealt with within the life, come to the Savior, to make no delay. And that invitation has been repeated time and time and time again. It is an evidence of the sincerity of the God of heaven with respect to your salvation. God is sincere when he says to you tonight, for one final time in this gospel mission, to come, come to Christ, come unto him. He doesn't invite us and then turn us away. Thank God for that. He doesn't hold out the promise of acceptance only to withdraw that after we have humbled ourselves before him. He doesn't invite us to come unto him and then we cannot find him. Ah, no, he invites us to come, and thank God, on our coming, he welcomes us in. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Thank God the Lord is not slack concerning any of his promises, but is long-suffering to usward. The invitation declared, notice secondly, the season detected. Paul said to Timothy to come before winter. Winter. As we've already mentioned, winter, the passage over sea from Ephesus to Rome would not have occurred in winter. Storms would have come. And so Paul, as he writes this letter, he realizes that there is a short window of opportunity that Timothy needs to improve upon if he is to be reunited with his father in the faith, Paul, there in Rome. There was a short, small window of opportunity for that man to do the command of this, the Apostle Paul. There was an opportunity, but it was only brief. If he missed the opportunity, he would not get to Rome. God has given you a short window of opportunity in this gospel mission, 2 weeks. And I don't know what will occur after I leave and after this gospel mission is over. But this is the final night. This is the last night. The last time that I will appeal to you. And surely, maybe someone in this house, this window of opportunity is going to close very rapidly, and you're going to miss your opportunity of seeking the Savior, being born again, being converted, being made ready for heaven. And who knows what will occur before you ever hear the gospel again. I believe a reason why Paul would say this to Timothy, because Paul was able to read the situation with respect to his own condition and his own state. Paul came to the conclusion that this winter was most likely going to be his last winter on earth. His remarks in verse number 6 give weight to that suggestion. He says, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand." He read it. He discerned the time. He understood that he was soon going to leave this world. He was going to die the martyr's death. He knew that if Timothy then deferred his coming to some other season, that he would be gone and gone forever. Only God knows what this winter has in store for any one of us. Maybe, just maybe, before the first fall of frost or snow, maybe you'll have gone out to meet your Maker. Maybe, just maybe, this will be the last round of Christmas cards that you'll write to and post to family and to friends, for before winter is ended, your soul will be out in God's great eternity. Maybe, just maybe, this will be the last time that the Christmas tree goes up in your home, and before the decorations are ever taken down, your funeral could have taken place. Maybe, just maybe, before the world rings out the old and welcomes in the new by saying goodbye to 2016 and welcoming in 2017, your body will lie silent in a grave in some cemetery in this land, and your soul will be in hell. In 86 days from today, on the 21st of December, the British Isles will reach what is known as the winter solstice. The winter solstice marks the shortest day and the longest night of the year, when the sun appears at the lowest point in the sky. Listen, my friend, the winter of 2016 is coming, and God would say to you to come before winter. In this year, 2016, 269 days have already gone, and sinner, you're still not saved. You still linger on in your sin. I would entreat you to come to Christ before winter. How many winters have you seen? 10, 30, 40, 60, 80. How many more do you expect to see? Old Jonathan would say to young David, "Tomorrow is the new moon, and thou shalt be missed because thy seat will be empty." Will your seat be empty in this house next Lord's Day? Not only is the winter season of 2016 approaching, but the winter of death is approaching and closing in on us all. The feeling body evidences that death's winter is fast coming for us all. Think of those things that you used to do in youthful days with ease, but now they take much longer to accomplish. The body's growing older, the pains are becoming greater, the hair is getting grayer, the tablet intake is increasing year on year, the visits to the doctor are becoming more frequent, the eyesight is dimming, the hearing is going, the arthritis is setting in, the energy levels are all diminishing. The aging process is a reminder to us all that death's winter is fast approaching, and soon the silver cord of life will be broken and loose, and the dust shall return to the earth as it was, and the Spirit shall return unto God who gave it. What then, sinner? What will He do with your soul when your soul returns to your Maker? What will He do with your soul, man? What will He do with your soul, woman? Will it enter into the bliss of heaven, or will it go into the darkness of hell? Winter's coming. Do thy diligence to come before winter. There's a final thing to notice. The urgency demanded. The urgency of Paul's request is encapsulated in the opening words of the verse 21, "Do thy diligence." What Paul was really saying to Timothy here was, "Timothy, set everything else aside in life, whatever it is, Set it all aside and do all that you can to come before winter. Now, needless to say, this man Timothy was a busy man. He was a pastor in a church. I'm sure there were ministries that needed to be established, missions, various outreaches I'm sure were being conducted, church membership meetings maybe being taking place. And then there's mention within the book about Timothy's grandmother and Timothy's mother, Lois and Eunice. Timothy could have had the responsibility of caring for his grandmother, for his mother. But important as all of those things were, as legitimate as those things were, and as they may have been, on the invitation of Paul, Timothy was to drop everything and get to Rome before winter. There may be many things in your mind tonight. Legitimate things. Things that you find important. But there's nothing as important as your soul salvation. God would have you tonight, sinner, to set everything else aside and to get to Christ before the season of opportunity closes. Though other matters are pressing, though your social calendar would dictate to you to leave salvation to some other time, though family ties are strong, though friendships are dear, though life is busy with exams and career opportunities and family plans, these must all take secondary place when it comes to the matter of your soul's welfare. Why? Because the season of opportunity is fast running out. And tonight may be the final call. God's final call. Someday you'll hear God's final call to you. Take his offer of salvation through you. This could be it, my friend. If you but knew God's final call. God's final call. This phrase, do thy diligence. It can be literally translated in the following ways. Use speed. Make every effort. Be prompt. Be earnest. Make haste. Exert thyself to come before winter. Think of those terms. Make effort. Be prompt. Be earnest. Make haste. Surely in those words we have an urgency. There's an urgency demanded from Paul with respect to his request. And so it is in the gospel, sinner. There's urgency with respect to the call of the gospel, the call that God is sending out to you in this final gospel mission meeting. There's an urgency with respect to your soul's salvation. Sinner, come before winter. The Savior said, strive to enter in at the straight gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter and shall not be able. You may say, preacher, I'll come to Christ when I leave school. But God would say to you, come before winter. I'll come to Christ, preacher, when I start university. But God would say to you, come before winter. You say, preacher, I'll come to Christ when I've settled into my career. But God would say to you to come before winter. Preacher, I'll come to Christ when I enjoy the world's pleasures. But God would say to you, come before winter. You'll say, preacher, I'll come to Christ when I marry. But God would say to you, come before winter. You say, preacher, I'll come to Christ whenever I have my first child in my arms. God would say to you to come before winter. He would say to you tonight, come, for all things are now ready. You say, preacher, I'll come to Christ when my husband, my wife, my partner, my boyfriend, my girlfriend comes to Christ. But God would say to you to come before winter. I'll come to Christ when the children fly the nest. God would say to you to come before winter. I'll come to Christ, preacher, whenever I retire. God would say to you, come before winter. You say, preacher, I'll come to Christ on my dying bed. God would say to you tonight, come before winter. An old rabbi used to say to his people, repent the day before you die. They said to him, but Rabbi, we know not the day of our death. To which the rabbi replied, then repent today. Today. Today, if ye hear his voice, harden not your heart. You may say, preacher, well, winter, it's still a distance off. I'll have a few months in my sin, but let me now apply it to your heart where you sit. Just in this meeting, as we bring this message to a close, as we bring the mission to a close, I would say unto you, do thy diligence to come before this meeting concludes. Before the lights go out in this house tonight. Before the last person leaves through the doors of this meeting place. Ah, sinner, do thy diligence to come to Christ tonight. There is no time to delay. Time is off the essence. Close in with God while God is speaking. While his return tarries. While there's breath in your body. When there's trouble in your soul. When there's concern in your mind about the waiting and eternal and important matters of your soul's salvation. Because, sinner, there's danger and death and delay. The little town of Lockerbie in Scotland will forever be remembered for the events that unfolded on the night of the 21st of December 1988. When at 7:02 p.m., a Boeing 747 operated by Pan Am was blown up in the night sky, resulting in the fuselage crashing into that sleepy little village in Lockerbie. Months previous to that disaster, an argument had flared up in the home of the Flanagans. It resulted in the son of that home, David, packing his bags and heading off to England. Each day while he was in England, he regretted how he had left on such bad terms with his parents and so intended someday that someday he would return and be reconciled to his family. As Christmas 1988 approached, David plucked up the courage to return home, and so he packed his bags and he set off for Lockerbie. However, as he rounded the last corner of his journey, suddenly from the sky above, the wing of Flight 103 came into view, crashed into Sherwood Crescent, creating a fireball upon impact that lit up the winter sky. David raced to the home of his parents, only to find where his home once stood a crater measuring some 47 meters in diameter. David's mother, Kathleen, his father, Thomas, and his sister, Joanne, just 10 years of age, were killed by the explosion at their house at 16 Sherwood Crescent. When David told his story and his intention to be reconciled to his family to a national newspaper, he said these words, "I was just one day. I was just one day." He intended to be reconciled to the family, but he just left it to this. Good intentions never save any man or any woman. How many a sinner finds themselves tonight in God's hell, and they would say to you, "I just left it one day too late." God has given you a window of opportunity. He's given you these closing moments, this final gospel meeting. We live in the day of God's grace, where the voice of God is calling, be in time. Sinner, don't be so near Christ's kingdom, but lost. Don't be so near the kingdom, but walk out of this meeting unconverted. Do thy diligence to come before winter. Do thy diligence to come tonight. For Scripture records, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. What is your life? It is but a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Come. You surely understand that. Come. Just as you are, come. Before winter, before the voice of God is silent, you may live many years from this moment of time, but this is your opportunity. This is your mission. This is your night. Come. May the Lord bring you to himself, and may you be saved even this night. Let's bow our heads in prayer, please.